All right, let's start off with this. Customer rattled after a snake falls from a Mexican restaurant ceiling right into her margarita during date night. Could you imagine that? You're just sitting there talking to somebody. Splash, you look down, it's a damn snake in your margarita. I don't think you're supposed to eat the snake at the end. Maybe if you had a couple margaritas, whatever you do back at your place is your business. But the woman said, I looked at my husband like, what was that? She said she's been scarred for life. When I turned around and saw the snake in my margarita, I lost it. What do you even do there? Like, you can't sue the restaurant for that, can you?
You can. You might not win. I mean, anybody could be sued. It doesn't mean you win.
Okay. I kept saying, please don't let it go in my purse. I left shaking. I was traumatized. She has not said whether or not she plans to sue.
She does.
Yeah. Yep. It's right here. Oh, right there in the follow-up story. She does. Written by Ed Norris. It's just two words. But just crazy, man. I couldn't imagine being out somewhere and all of a sudden something falling from the ceiling in your drink. All right. This is an interesting one. I got to tell you about a sexual assault that happened on a subway train. Let me just start this story because this is layered. Felix Rojas, 44, was charged with rape nearly 3 weeks after he allegedly assaulted the body of a dead man on the R train. That's right. The victim was identified as 37-year-old family man Jorge Gonzalez, who mysteriously died on the train. His wife said he was an alcoholic and had problems with cirrhosis. But after he died on the train, his night wasn't over.
No.
The accused necrophiliac then allegedly performed the sickening act on the dead man shortly before midnight and fled the train around 12:08. What on earth? Of his soul. The NYPD blasted out an image of the suspect on the train before an arrest was made. It was not immediately clear what led to Gonzalez's death, although, again, his wife said he did have a drinking problem. Man, that's got to be the worst damn thing. Sam Kinison used to do a joke about that. About your soul not leaving your body and being there in the morgue, and then all of a sudden someone starts diddling with you. No! What are you doing? What are you doing back there? Get away! You know, he's like, he did this bit on it, but like you see stuff like this and you're going, there are really people out there that do this disgusting thing. It's just amazing.
100% they do it. 100.
Somebody said that's why a lot of morgue workers are women. Do you buy that?
I don't know if that's the reason, but it does happen in the...
Because they're more worried about us guys over there.
Yeah, I mean, it's bizarre.
Ashy Larry is a... he plays he plays that role in BMF.
Yeah?
Yeah.
The dirty morgue guy?
Yeah. And he messes with dead bodies.
I remember, what was it, Bad Boys 2, when they were in there with all those dead bodies? Like, man, look at that. Look at the breast on that one. I was like, what? It's disgusting, man. All right, let's get to this headliner story because, Ed, I've talked to you about this before. A lad, 25, he's taking bookies to the high court after they refused to pay out a winning 270,400,000 euro bet. Get the people's court.
The plaintiff, a degenerate gambler from Carson, Nevada.
And I can kind of relate to this, Ed. I have a friend who won $220,000 over a four-day period, and I hope that bookie's listening, and then he just got stiffed, to which my friend, went to Ed and said, is there any recourse for this? What could you possibly do? Well, apparently in Ireland, you can take him to the high court. That's right. Well, we probably all placed a huge bet at one point or another, dreaming of the thousands of pounds that will end up in our account. Well, that'd be dollars for you guys. Sometimes everything seems to be going your way, and you cash out for a big profit, only to realize that you could have won close to $1 million, which is exactly what happened to one Premier League fan a couple of seasons ago. That's right. The guy could have won a bunch more, but he cashed out, went for the 200 and whatever it is, 74,000 euros off of a 60-euro bet. Dylan Phelan, 25-year-old, was the former after the stable hand correctly predicted two long-shot horses. So had an idea about horse racing, made a bet, won it, and the bookie stiffed him. What should it? Because is this akin to the drug dealer or the person that bought flour from their drug dealer complaining about it? Because it's like, I don't know that you have a recourse if it's illegal.
I think it's exactly the same. Yeah. It's an illegal act that you're taking part in. And you're mad because we used to make fun of it. Because people used to complain to me, especially in Times Square. They see a foot cop, they walk over, hey, man, I just got sold beat. And?
Don't tell me.
What would you like me to do? You know? But it would happen. So, yeah, I don't think you have anything. I mean, just, you know, the only thing that should happen is you should get his ass kicked. I mean,
S-O-L.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No paddles either, man.
No.
Yeah, that's where you're up. It's funny to me because, like, again, being in this industry and seeing stuff like this all the time, it's usually the bookies that are getting stiffed. But I've had it happen numerous times in my life, small scale and then large scale as well. And it's like you get to that point. What do you do? There's no recourse here. I'm interested to see how this whole thing turns out there. I'm going to Ireland soon, but I don't know what the laws are there for something like this. Was what he did completely illegal? Were there certain things that local bookies could do when it comes to soccer and horse racing? I don't know. But to take him to court, as Rob was pointing, Rob was doing the damn People's Court theme song in here the whole time. The defendant. It's like, doo-doom, doom. But anyway, that's your World of Stupid.
Thank you very much. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Ryan Ripken joins us at 745. Kim McCusick in studio at 8 o'clock. But on the other side, is it time to push the panic button for the birds? And I mean the Orioles. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
Every night, box scores aren't going in our favor, and it's tough to stay mentally engaged once things kind of start spiraling. But, you know, that's the name of the job, and being able to find our way out of that and keeping things positive. We have guys in the clubhouse who are plenty positive and try to pick us up, and we're gonna be okay by the end of this.
Kramer seems to be pretty confident that they're going to be okay by the end of it. Ed, do you share in his confidence?
I don't know if I'm as confident as Kramer right now, especially with the starting pitching. You just got swept by Detroit. I'm starting to lean to your guys' side with the hitting. It's just like, what do you do each game when you're not scoring any runs and you just keep leaving runners on base?
And I say again, the Baltimore Ravens had one of the greatest defenses in the history of the National Football League. They could tell you to score 13 points and we'll win the game. But not often can you win games when your defense, or I should say your offense, continues to put a defense on the field. Why do I use that comparison? Well, yesterday the Orioles pitching, you know, Kramer had a bad inning. He did, early in the game. And then he held them for a while. Next thing you know, it's 7-0. Well, how often can I go out there? It was 2-0 all the way to the bottom of the fifth inning. No runs, putting runners on. At some point, you got to score me some runs. At some point, you got to get some pressure off of me. It's a 7-0 game, man. Yeah, you saw that. But what you did not see is the constant leaving runners in scoring position, and now I'm pitching tight.
Yeah, we talked about this last week, where if you don't give guys some breathing room, they pitch very tight. Mm-hmm. Although I'm kind of reluctant to give that pass to Kramer, because it just hasn't looked really good at all. But they got to score, and it's a problem now. It's really become a problem, and I'm starting to wonder, like, after a while, like, what's going on here?
It just kind of unraveled quick, too. Yeah. I mean, you give up the runs early, but up until that, for a while there, he only had one hit that he gave up.
Yeah.
And you're looking at it going, well, he's actually pitching better than Scooble, except for one mistake, and it didn't matter. Because if Scooble gets a guy on, he's going to work through it, and he's going to do what he does. Same thing with Kramer. Like, I mean, we're looking at it. He's got a 7-run ERA. And this is what I get into. So, and it's so frustrating. There's so many guys taking victory laps, and I feel like there's more people in this city, this town, whatever you want to call it, that would rather be right than have their team actually be good. And all the people that are taking victory laps, they didn't do enough in the offseason. Look at all the effing injuries. And I'm not trying to listen to anyone say, I don't want any excuses. It's an excuse when you lost 7 of your 10 starting pitchers.
Jeremy, could I paint this picture for you? Tomo is pitching well, am I right?
Yeah, that's it.
Kay Povich is pitching pretty decent, right? Okay, can you imagine that rotation if you added Bradish, Grayson, and Eflin to that?
Yeah.
Now you got a 5-man rotation.
By the way, it's not even about adding those guys. It's about taking away the guys you have right now, because these aren't guys. Like, Charlie Morton should never touch a baseball for this team again.
And the only reason he does, because those guys are gone.
They're all hurt.
Yes.
Like, Chase McDermott's making his way back. Eflin will be back next month. I don't know what to tell you about Grayson, but all these people are saying this. Like, I saw somebody tag me in a thing this morning saying, oh, this guy said they were going to go to the World Series. Yeah, I did. I thought this team would go to the World Series. I thought they'd make moves at the trade deadline. I did not think they'd lose their front two starting pitchers. I didn't think they'd start the season without their best player, that the kid that should have won Rookie of the Year last year in left field wouldn't play after a handful of games because he got hurt. Looking at your third baseman who's been hurt all season and went for an over 30. Like, you're not predicting those things to happen. That's not what anybody said. And everybody goes, well, they should have signed more starting pitching. Who? Just tell me who you wanted them to sign.
Yeah, they've got the worst runs allowed in the American League and the second worst run differential in baseball. The Rockies are just...
They're playing Coors, too.
They've only won four games this year. I mean, they just got awful. But the Orioles have the worst run differential in the American League and have given up the most runs. I mean, it's not good.
No, it's awful.
Brandon Young pitched on Saturday the first game of the doubleheader. Now, if you scoreboard scout, you can say he walked five batters. He did walk five batters. He walked five batters in the first two innings. He gave up two runs. Then after that, he settled down. He ended up pitching 4 2/3 innings, giving up 3 earned runs. Why did he not pitch the fifth inning? Because the Orioles weren't scoring any effing runs, and now you got to take him out and get the bullpen and hope that you hold pat, that you stay there and not give up any more runs. Orioles ended up scoring 2 more runs late, and they lose 4-3. Again, you can scoreboard, scout all you want. But if you're watching the game, you
came back and tied it, right? And then they gave up the fourth run in the eighth inning or something? Am I right on that on Saturday?
No, they never tied it.
It wasn't 3-3. I got it. It was 4-3. Right. They were up 4-2.
They could never catch up. But that's where you look. Now you got to go to your bullpen a lot earlier. Why? Because this kid gave you everything that he had, and you don't want him to give up more runs because you can't score more runs. Second game of the doubleheader, they lose 6-2. Tigers scored 3 in the third inning. It was 6. It was with 3-2, and then all of a sudden, the bullpen gives up 3 more runs, and there you go. There you go.
We talked about Coby Mayo ranking in the minor leagues. Is it time to talk about what Mountcastle's been doing at the major league level?
Nothing.
I mean, this is where you get into the ebbs and flows of streaky players, and the Orioles have a handful of them on their roster right now. And when things are going bad and they're all going bad at the same time, this is what you wind up with. Tyler O'Neill's hurt. I don't think anybody's surprised by that. That's something you kind of expected. And you talked about, they were listing all the guys that had something barking yesterday. Like, all these injuries that they're trying to play through.
Yeah. Okay, yesterday's lineup, Urias is batting 317. 317. Take him out. Let me give you the other batting averages. 184, 220, 207, 100, 0, 197, 136, and 233. And that's the batting average after the game because remember Jorge Mateo had 2 hits yesterday.
That sounded like my paychecks at WNSC.
Bring his average up to 130. Now
let's look at four guys not batting 200.
Yeah. Now, we know we don't worry about average as much. We worry about OPS, but let's look at slugging. Let me give you on-base percentage because I think that's a huge part of helping out. On-base percentages, 200, 256, 261. We're not counting Urias's. We already said that. 200, 091, 239, 136, 317. Those are on-base percentages. And, of course, Urias is 386. But that's the starting lineup for yesterday's 7-0 loss against Tarek Skubal, who went 6 innings, striking out 11. Mm. Tarek Skubal's 5 of his first 6 outs recorded were strikeouts. That's where they are right now.
Yeah. It's stunning. When you look at the line, I mean, I was looking at it this morning before the show. I'm like, wow. And I know it wasn't, you didn't have your starting catcher. You didn't have your starting center fielder. But the people that showed up yesterday on that lineup card, it's stunning to look at how bad the batting averages are. And you still have to look at that. And on-base percentage, you said, is awful. I mean, but to have 4 guys batting under 200.
Yeah. If a guy is batting 230, but his on-base percentage is 350, I'm cool with that.
Oh, that's
we don't have fine. That. We don't have that, though. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's not the case here. He's batting 220, and his on-base percentage is 256.
I mean, the only thing you really have to hang your hat on is the way that the bullpen's been pitching, and they're getting ready to ruin that. I mean, these starters can't go 5-6 innings. Like what Sagano did the other day after giving up. You looked at the start, and he gives up 2 runs. You're like, oh, not today. And then that SOB goes 7 innings.
Yeah, it just says enough.
Yeah.
Enough. I mean, what gets me, though, again, let me go back to Brandon Young on Saturday. If the Orioles are scoring runs, you might let him go through the fifth. Hell, you might consider letting him come back out in the sixth. if you think you're scoring runs. But because when you're not scoring runs, Ed, it completely determines what you do with your pitching. It changes everything because now you manage with a panic. I can't give up more runs. Why? Because we're not scoring. We got to hold them right here. Because if I give up any more runs, this game is over. And that's how that's how he's managing right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, you know, it sucks for him because you talk about his management. People question that with the different lineups and this and that and resting Cedric and all. But he's not the one who's not getting on base. It's just at some point, like, what do you do with this? How do you fix this problem where you just – they're not hitting. The run differential is terrible. The runs against – I hate to give it a pass, but I will because the starting pitching has been decimated. These guys shouldn't be starting for this team for the most part, you know.
Yesterday's not a great example, though, with that lineup, though, right? Because that was kind of...
Well, that's what he's saying. These guys shouldn't even be starting.
Well, Mateo gets two hits. Maybe put those in your back pocket. But, again, you look at Sanchez, Mateo, the guys that they put out yesterday. I know some guys are hurt, but, woof, that was an ugly lineup.
Yeah.
And you see that a lot, too, against some of these upper echelon arms, the Cy Young types, when you're getting guys days off, usually with the lefties. But this was something where I think there's a lot of guys that are dealing with stuff injury-wise right now and trying to play through it.
410-583-1057, that's the number. Want to hear from you. When is it time to push the panic button for the Baltimore Orioles? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
It's really hard to lose the season in April. We still have five more months, and it just takes a 6-7 game win streak, and then you're like, well, look, we're back at 500, and here we go.
That's Dean Kramer. Some confidence there. But is it time to push the panic button?
I mean, I think the panic button's been pushed by a lot of people already. Let me ask you something, though, Rob. Like, when you were there this weekend in Detroit, and you get a chance to see him, and I don't know how much you can tell us, how much, because people keep saying, like, I don't know if these guys are training the right way, if they're practicing hard, and they don't look like they're interested. How much are these guys working out and in the cage, like taking hits?
The clubhouse is empty a lot, not because they're running from you, but because they're putting in extra work. These guys put a lot of work in. I mean, in that tunnel, some places you go, especially on the road when you pass through the facility to get to the clubhouse, you see their other facilities, and these guys in the tunnel a lot.
I only asked this because last year we talked about this at Tampa Bay. Remember when the Randy Arozarena stuff started, and you had made the comment that the Orioles were out there working out before the Rays even got there, and the Rays came out so late, you're like, are they even going to work out? You know, do you think they're overdoing it to a degree? Like, could this be a part of, you know, the reason that they're getting hurt?
That's a great question. Because they put in a lot of work. You look at some of the injuries, you could attribute it to that, the core injuries and things like that. They swing the bat a lot. I don't think before you guys think, well, that's because they're panicking. No, we talked about this last year when they were cruising, when they won 101 games, they put in this kind of work. So, that's a good point. You know, these guys they're still young, but it's a lot of days, and they swing the bat a lot. Let's go out to Mike in Baltimore. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
Doing good. Well. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm starting to panic a little bit.
Okay.
I had reservations anyway, you know, before the season starts, because I know how we go into these hitting funks, and, you know, with all the pitching problems that we had, so I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, I'm not worried. I think we should have some concern right now.
Thanks a lot, man. See, that's good. Concern, panic. I'm concerned, but I'm not panicked. Let's go to Rashawn.
Yankees coming to town.
Let's go to Rashawn in Baltimore. What's up, Rashawn?
Hey, good morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
Doing well, man. Hey. How was Detroit to you?
Oh, man, it was fun, man. I wish you could have checked that house party I whooped you Saturday night, Mike.
Hold on. Is that the one where you took that lady home? Because that wasn't a snowbird I saw you with. That was somebody's mama.
Hey, you know I like them old, Jeremy. Come on, man. You know.
Yeah, but that was somebody's mama's mama is what I believe.
Hey, you know, it is what it is, man. You know, very seasoned, you know. Hey, man. But, Rob, thanks for the tickets, too, this weekend, man. You know, for the game, man.
Dude's even sitting though, up front, man.
Yeah, man, Rob be looking out, man. Rob be looking out. You know, even though it was cold as hell.
Hold on. Did you say Rob be looking out or Robbie looking out? Are you calling him Robbie now?
No, you guys are tight. Rob looking out, man. You know, it was cold. It almost froze my ass off out there, man. You know, for a beautiful stadium. On to the topic, though, right? I don't think, you know, we should panic or nothing like that, because what this panic is going to do is it's going to bring back Grayson any sooner, Absalom, or Bradish. So we got to, you know, we in a funk right now, you know, but most of our rotation hurt. So we got to just relax and hopefully things get better, you know, with people coming back off this injured list.
Hey, I just want to say, Rashad, I'm proud of you because you pronounced all the names correct today. Sorry, man.
Yeah, man, I'm good, man. You know, I'm doing good. I'm getting better at this, man.
Putting in work.
Tired of Jeremy joking me.
Al got growing up there, Ed. He's growing up,
he
man.
He is. I know. He's not growing up. He's been trolling us forever. We're the idiots.
Yeah. You think he's been doing this on purpose?
Yes.
I don't know.
He's a smart guy. He totally has been trolling us.
Let's go to Eli Parkville. What's up, Eli?
Good morning, fellas. I wouldn't panic just yet, but I think that Hyde needs to figure out these rotations, because yesterday when I looked at the rotation, the leadoff hit, like, come on. Like, we can't just put Gunner in and Russ Mullins. Like, it's just certain stuff like that.
That's irritating me. Like, what's there's that? No reason that Laureano needs to, like, put Gunner back in the leadoff spot. Like, what are we doing? Like, you moved him the second, and then what? Like, he's just got to stay there now? That's where he's hitting? I don't like it. Like, again, you talked about Laureano. Laureano shouldn't be batting leadoff for any effing team in Major League Baseball. None. So, I'm again, and I'm one of the few that actually like Brandon Hyde. I don't need to see Jorge Mateo. I know what he does. And I don't need to see Laureano hit leadoff.
Well, you know why you saw Mateo yesterday.
I know.
All the injuries.
Yeah.
Well, not the injuries, the ailments. And by the way, Sed's not injured. He's sick. Just to clarify.
He's sick of all this bullshit. Oh, sorry.
Let's go to Rosedale and get Antonio. What's up, Antonio?
Good morning.
Morning, sir. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
It was good to see you yesterday, Jamie.
Yep, I was down in Little Italy at the bocce ball, and Antonio was over there killing it, right? He ate a bagel. It took him an hour, though. Took him an hour. That was a big-ass bagel he was eating, man. What's on your mind?
How do the Orioles fix their poor hitting offense? And you guys have a wonderful day.
You have a wonderful day, too.
You fire the hitting coach, right? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Come on.
Get those torpedo bats.
Look, this is...
Five of the first six outs were strikeouts. You got to make contact for the torpedo bats.
Get big ones.
But no, they're wider. They're okay. Can we get those big red, like bats?
The Bam Bam bats?
Yeah, they used to have in wiffle balls. Like, hey, you got the thin yellow ones?
Like a cricket paddle or something.
Yeah.
Wiffle ball.
Wiffle.
Let's go to Daniel in Severna Park. What's up, Daniel?
It's time to fire Brandon Hyde. Ooh. I'm sick and tired of his inconsistency. What happened to manufacturing runs? When we get somebody on base, let's put the threat of steal on.
They stole three bases yesterday.
I know, but that's not consistent.
I'm just saying, you can't manufacture runs when you're not on, Daniel. That's the thing. I mean, you know, you can't. I mean, manufacture a car. I don't have the material. Yeah. You know what I mean? You know, bake a cake. I don't have the ingredients.
Manufacture a cake.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm just saying, you can't. People, what happened to manufacturing runs? Well, you got to get on base.
Yeah,
I just read you the on-base percentages.
You know what pissed me off is they manufactured a run after Jordan Westberg hit that triple. They hit a sack fly to knock his ass in. Like, you know, like, we put together an inning that has consecutive hits that aren't single, fly out, strikeout, you know?
I don't, whatever happened to manufacturing runs? Well, get on base. I don't get it. I mean, I understand you're griping about them not scoring, but sometimes we repeat things that we heard somewhere else, and we ain't really watching. We're having the stolen bases. Well, Mateo had two of them yesterday. He could have had a third one, but the batter had two strikes on him and had to swing. He was gone to third. He was at third when they swung.
Aren't you guys watching? We got cereal and no milk, and Kool-Aid and no sugar, ham, no burger. All that's going on right now. We can't have two things go at once.
Whatever happened to manufacturing? What are you talking about? We got runners on second and third, and you do nothing. That's me manufacturing.
Oh, this is just...
Let's go to Tom and Rising Sun. What's up, Tom?
Hey, good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Good
morning.
Listen, I think they made a big mistake by not re-signing Santander. I think he was a good, big part of this team, and I would have... He wasn't asking for that darn much money. I would have re-signed him.
How much was he asking for?
Was it 40 million a year? Is that what it was asking for?
He didn't make that in Toronto.
Right. It was less than that then, right? Am I right?
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, you got to know how much he was asking for to say it wasn't that much. I don't know what he was asking
for.
He's
hitting 179 with 30 strikeouts right now. I mean, he'd fit right in.
I mean, somebody said to me, he didn't ask for that much money. I said, well, what did he ask for? He just looked at me like, I was a dog that just saw a card trick. I can't say he didn't ask for much. I don't know what he asked for. The only reason why we know what Burns asked for, because he told us.
He's getting like $18 million a year.
Hmm. He's hitting 179. But like, you know, I'm listening to people because I think the foregone conclusion is people are like, well, they should have re-signed Burns. They offered him $45 million. And I'm sitting here listening to you. If you said, well, why didn't you just go 6 years for less? He wanted to go to Arizona. They were going to have to top what Arizona was doing. For the people that are talking about Max Fried, he got an 8-year deal.
I ain't doing that.
And you're loving it now. Wait until we see what happens over the next few years.
Ryan Ripken joins us to talk more baseball up next on The Fan. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Joining us right now, courtesy of the Window Nation Guest Hotline, he is Ryan Ripken. What's up, Ryan?
What's up, guys? Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you, too. Now, the Orioles right now just not producing the way we thought they would. They are 10-17, 5-11 on the road. But Dean Kramer said something after yesterday's start that I want you to listen to and comment on for me, please.
It's really hard to lose the season in April. We still have 5 more months, and it just takes a 6-7 game win streak, and then you're like, well, look, we're back at 500, and here we go.
Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, look, I agree with Dean that you can't the season isn't over in April. And you can't win the World Series in April. You know, we saw that in the previous years. Having said that, though, you know, I always like to look at it as a getting to mid-May and pushing towards June. Some people like to say that's 40 games. Some people like to say 60. Let's just say it's in the middle. When you get off to a really rough start, which the Orioles have right now, it's going to put more pressure on you to play better. And so far, you can feel that they're pressing, and you feel that they're out of sync constantly. And here's just the reality for the squad. You knew the pitching issues that were going to happen. Your strength, one of your strengths was supposed to be hitting, and the team as a whole is not producing to the level that they need to win games. You got to pitch, you got to play defense, and you got to execute situationally. And when they're in Detroit dominated in every fashion, and that's why they got swept out of Detroit coming home. So I'm with Dean, but the thing that I worry about is can they truly put what's happened behind, and especially, and I'd say this Yankees series is crucial because that could be a jump start, but it could go the other way if you can't defeat your rival.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, right, we've been giving, I think, the pitching staff a pass because they've been decimated with injuries, but the hitting has just been abysmal. I mean, yesterday there were 4 guys in the lineup, granted, they're not everyday players, but not even batting 200. On-base percentages, like, were just terrible. This is the same roster as last year, pretty much. Any idea why they're not getting on base? And when they do, they leave them on.
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't think it's ironic. I don't think it's a coincidence that your 3 highest hitters as far as average are 3 veterans. Cedric Mullins, Ryan O'Hearn, Ramon Arias. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's a coincidence at all. I think when in the previous years, and let's go back to 2022, where there's 0 expectation, 0. And so what do you do when there's less expectation? It's easier to play. 2023, similar thing. You felt like it was taking a step. And then 24 rolls around, and you feel like you guys are the big brother in this whole division in the American League. And then things go wrong. And then that's when you have to face expectations. So the 2025 Orioles and this team that is filled with, if you think about it, their starting lineup could have 5 or 6 All-Stars. It could, based on the talent alone. But when I look at everything right now, it's not physical skills that are the issue. It's the mental side of the game where every former big leaguer, ones that have gone on to have great careers. You know, I even talked, you know, Yankees are in town, just dropped an interview with Mark Teixeira. Talked to Brian Roberts in the past week, and they said it's not talent at this level. What's going to get you past it? It's all on the mental side. And I think a lot of the Orioles are really struggling with being able to reset their minds during tough times.
Hey, it's a rather easy question for me. I don't know about you, but what are you doing with Charlie Morton moving forward? Because he can't start for me again. He just can't.
Man, it's you know, unless you don't have an option, you know, which I think if Kyle Gibson and, you know, you have guys that can come back, it is becoming very challenging, especially when we're talking about a mental side. You can see a guy that is frustrated and is feeling just disappointed and not, and it's kind of a microcosm for the Orioles in general. He's not confident in the stuff, you know, and I still go back and look at it, and I got to check the numbers since they changed from last start. But it is wild to me how his command is so off. And I know he's saying mechanically. And also that but people still, if you look at the batting average off his fastball, it's ridiculously low. It's one of those things where I sit there and go, you know, so many things could be different, but you're right. You now have seen a full month. You haven't seen anything that's changed. Personally, if you don't want to move him out, at least give him some time off. You know, try to do something here because the Orioles just don't have a lot of arms. But I'm with you. I think until he sees that you can get him into a better frame of mind, I think he's got to take a step away.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey,
Ryan, what do you think about him moving to the bullpen? Because I have a feeling that's his next move.
I mean, probably, you know, I think if you're not going to give him time off because you really can't afford it, is he comfortable coming out of the pen? You know, I think that's the other part is can he do it? You know, and that's – I don't have that answer, but I'm fine with that. You know, it's such an interesting thing, and I truly do believe it. If the Orioles weren't in the pitching issue situation that they were in, I think we'd have a lot quicker answer on what they'd be doing. But I think because they are so decimated, you really have to sit there and think. But, I feel for Charlie. But this is a business at the end of the day. And for him, each time he's gone out there on the bump, the Orioles, it's not just the fact that they don't win. They haven't won. And the big reason is because he's putting the team in a tough position from the get-go.
Ryan, thanks a lot, my friend. Tell us all about your podcast.
All right, well, I'll be ripping with Ryan 12 to 2 with Bob Haney on Fridays and anything else outside. Ryan Ripken Show Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, guys. Appreciate you.
Thanks a lot, Ryan. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Mike Bordick joins us at 845, but on the other side, the draft 2025 version is in the books. We're going to look at the tape. At least our next guest already did. Film Study Baltimore. Ken McCusick joins us in studio on The Fan.